Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Revolting, a dissection of social and cultural issues relevant to gay men.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Follow us on Instagram or Twitter, or join our community on Facebook by searching The Gays Revolting.
And support the show and access our after shows and live streams at patreon.com/gaysrevoltingpod.
And it's just Kyle and I again for now. Mikey and Luke will be joining us later in the episode for a bit of an interview. But first of all, how are you, my darling?
Hello. Yeah, cute. How are you since the last time I saw you with my fam bam? Are you
good? It was so nice to meet your family last week.
It was so cute. I received so many
lovely messages from people about how, you know, wonderful it is to hear how supportive your mother is and how nice it is for you and your brother to have each other.
Thank
you to you and your family for sharing that with us.
That is quite all right. I was quite worried before, but it came out well, so I was happy.
Your mum was so sweet. She was so nervous beforehand, but she did such a wonderful job.
No, she's probably listened to it like so many times back
then. Oh, bless her.
How are you going? I hear you're hosting a new night or something.
Yes, I know. Fucking busier than ever, which is great. So sadly, none of the regulars that I usually host are coming back just yet because the venue, so that's Granny Bingo and Trivia at DT's. Mm-hmm. The venues just aren't big enough, unfortunately, to make it realistic to open up with the current restrictions. But I am hosting a brand new night at Molly's upstairs from Circuit. In what used to be the sex rooms, but is now really lovely.
Are you kidding?
Lovely. No, absolutely. Like, I love sitting down, like picking a table and being like, oh, this is where the glory holes used to be. This used to be the porn room. So it's a new comedy night. So I'll be hosting and I get to program it with three special guest comedians every week. And it's great because the current restrictions, obviously you have to be seated and having a meal to go to a venue.
Having a meal in ex sex
in what used to be a sex room.
I mean, if people weren't spraying down because of COVID-19, Jesus, I hope.
Yeah, that's a good Don't worry, it's had a very deep clean. So if anyone wants to come, please come along, support it. It's going to be fantastic. Go to the Molly's website.
I'll be there with bells.
Heaven. And you're going away this weekend with your gorgeous girlfriend.
I'm so excited. So Duncan's going to go visit his family this weekend. I'm going to tag along up near Aubrey Wodonga way. So just a nice little weekend away in the country.
Gorgeous part of the world up there.
But Mikey and Luke did a pretty cool little interview. So it's a bit of a small episode today because we've got a really cool interview with a veteran LGBTI activist today.
Yeah, that's right. It's a name you've probably heard of. Joining us today is Roz Ward, who chats to Luke and Mikey about the Safe Schools program, as well as a super interesting discussion about revolutionary socialism.
And sadly, there will be no after show this week, but regular scheduled programming will resume next week.
Tonight, we're joined by a Safe Schools Coalition co-founder, a veteran LGBTI activist and Marxist, Roz Ward. Roz teaches in education at RMIT and Deakin Universities and is the host of the podcast Red Flag Radio, a podcast for revolutionary socialists. Roz, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
We like having a bit of a revolutionary on the show. Thank you for coming on. They don't say we're revolting for nothing.
That's exactly.
Firstly, thank you so much and a lot of respect for the work you've done advocating for members of our community, especially the Safe Schools program. Mm. Even as an adult, that's had a huge effect on the way I viewed my own education and my worldview as well. So it still remains in Victoria. Do you know if the program here is achieving some of the outcomes that you set out for it?
Yeah, well, I'm not directly involved with it anymore, and I've sort of shifted into a bit of a different space. But I think even with the controversy that kind of came in 2017 and the backlash and stuff, I think a lot of what we set out to achieve in terms of at least having the public conversations about are schools safe for LGBTI plus people, and the answer being no, not really. Yeah. And what can we do about it? And young people kind of taking the lead as much as possible on being advocates for themselves and allies and all of that kind of stuff happening. I think we're in a very different position to when we started Safe Schools back in 2010. Wow, 10 years ago almost. Wow. Yeah. So a lot has changed, but obviously there's a lot still to do, and I'm sure, you know, there'd be plenty of people who would listen to your show and have stories of that, you know, their own children or people that they know who are still in schools where, unfortunately, homophobia and transphobia is still a reality for people.
Yeah.
Mm. And we've interviewed members of Rainbow Families, so, you know, same-sex couples that are raising their own children now, and that's another aspect of that, of like, at some point we're raising our families and we want our own children to have safe spaces. But
and that's one thing I tell people, or when I'm teaching students to become teachers, and one of the things I say to them, partly as a joke but partly it's true, is that you should be less scared of conservative parents than you are of lesbian parents who will come down to your school and tell you exactly what you're doing wrong in not being inclusive enough, because actually, you know, we're much more active in the community often than conservatives are, where it can just be one person sends a snotty email and everyone sort of thinks that they need to jump to attention, whereas actually, you know, lesbians are the ones who are chairing school councils and doing all of that extra work and volunteering, and, you know, all sorts of LGBTI people as well, I think, now much more involved in schools.
And you were attacked by Australia's Murdoch Press when you were advocating for the programs. How influential sort of was the media in trying to suppress, I guess, what they termed radical gender theory, do you think?
Well, they certainly had a good go, and it does seem like it was a, you know, a concerted and organised effort by what I would now call an anti-safe schools kind of movement from the right.
And they were you a gender whisperer?
I think I was the original gender whisperer.
Were you the original gender whisperer?
I got a shout out from old ScoMo, so yeah.
Well,
they definitely wanted to try to whip up that fear around gender, and I think, you know, it's a common strategy to try to pick on the least accepted, in inverted commas, part of the community. And gay and lesbian and bisexual people we've come a long way, but for transgender people, I think there's still so much transphobia that they think that they can kind of get to all of us by attacking trans and gender diverse people. So that was a big part of it as well. And people just, you know, feeling confused about what it was that we were doing. And Trump, you know, is leading the world in transphobia and all of that. So I think it has had an influence, but I think it's also meant that so many more people now as well are much more familiar with transgender experiences, and there's a lot more allies and advocates than there were. Again, in 2010, there were hardly any out trans and gender diverse young people in schools, that's for sure. And now there are heaps.
Every story I hear about the younger generation embracing gender identity and gender fluidity just blows my mind about how far that progression has come from, say, when I was in school or when I was a kid. And the language didn't even exist. The words and the ideas weren't just non-existent in my world. And I think the work that Safe Schools did in terms of education and just creating a broader knowledge within families, I think was, it melts my cold little Turtle heart. <Yeah. laughs> And not much darts.
Yeah.
I attended the rallies and things when the Safe School program was like really under attack, and you saw young people speak about their experiences and you went, fuck, that child is like so much more in touch with themselves, like in with their identity than I am now as a 30-year-old man, and it's inspiring to see that. So
I know. I mean, and that's one of the things we used to say to teachers and principals and stuff. Like, imagine if these amazing young people didn't have to advocate just for themselves and their right to be themselves anymore, but could actually be active around a whole bunch of other social justice causes in your school. What an amazing contribution. I mean, they're already making a contribution, but like young people, especially trans and gender diverse young people, do spend a lot of time just trying to advocate for themselves and are extremely gifted at it and smart about it and strategic, and they sort of work out who their allies are. And like, these are all amazing kind of life skills if only they could just get on with living their life, you know, the way that in the person they want to be. And yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And speaking more about the revolutionary aspect of the work you do, you're part of the Socialist Alternative in Australia, which is going to sound a bit intense to our listeners, but the goal is to overthrow capitalism. Could you explain to our listeners the fundamentals of that if they're unfamiliar with socialist movements?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big idea. I mean, the starting point for me was looking around, well, my personal experience of, you know, experiencing homophobia and kind of stuff about my gender when I was growing up and feeling very frustrated about the unfairness of the world. And then kind of looking around and thinking, oh, it's unfair for a whole bunch of other people as well. You know, like racism exists, the treatment of refugees, the vast inequality, and there's no real reason for it. And it's justified in all of these kind of ways that don't actually make any sense. So the starting point of being a revolutionary socialist for me was just to say capitalism is a system, and when we start to understand it better, it's structured into the system that we have this inequality and oppression. And so wanting to get rid of that means thinking about, well, where do we have power to do that? What difference can we make? You know, questions like, can you reform the system? Can you make it a better version of capitalism? And getting to the point of thinking, actually, no, it needs to be fundamentally reorganized. And it's only a very young system. I mean, sometimes you can think, well, this is just the way it is. But actually, capitalism is like, been around, you know, for a very short amount of time in the history of humanity and the history of this continent that we are on. You know, like tens of thousands of years of Indigenous life in Australia had nothing to do with capitalism, and it's a very young and a very destructive system that could also have an ending. It had a beginning, it could have an ending.
When I was a teenager, I joined back in Adelaide. You know, they had a little headquarters on Hindley Street. I was a pretentious teenager that thought I knew everything, but I went in there and learnt that, that the system that we were a part of is created in a way that I can only ever achieve so much. You know, I kind of have a handicap on me that only lets me get up to a certain point. And similar to what we were saying before, being able to learn those concepts that maybe the world doesn't need to be that way.
And I think a lot of young people just sort of naturally have those questions. Like when you start to work out, like most teenagers do get to a point where they're like, wait, you can't just keep telling me life is unfair just because it is. You know, like people's parents say, why is it so unfair? Why are people homeless? You can't really answer those questions satisfactorily, I think, without having a critique of capitalism.
Can you just explain to us what the difference between revolutionary socialism and just like plain socialism is?
Just plain boring socialism.
Plain. No,
just regular old.
No, you want the full like prawn cocktail flavored socialism.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. There are a lot of different people who call themselves socialists, and it can mean different things. I mean, the main difference with being a revolutionary socialist is we think that there needs to be, you know, a full-scale restructuring of society. And you can't just do that sort of bit by bit through changing different laws and stuff like that. You actually need to kind of end that whole dynamic of profit making and accumulation and exploitation, and that actually Parliament and just having a socialist government elected wouldn't be enough to do that. And also, I think importantly, revolution is not some crazy sort of chaotic, violent thing that people think it is.
Scary thing.
It's actually a way. Yeah, I think it's obviously in the interests of capitalists to keep telling people it would be scary and awful, and you know, you'd rather have the calm situation we have now, where people just die in their millions of famine all around the world or whatever. But we think revolution is important because it's also a way for people to kind of start to do the collective kind of reorganizing themselves and being involved in it. So that's actually a very democratic process where people start to decide, what do we want to be producing in society and what don't we? Do we need 6,000 different types of phones and upgrades every year, or could we be a bit more efficient with some of that stuff? You know, like the overproduction of stuff in the world is crazy, actually.
I think people picture like The Purge. You know those films?
Yeah.
What is that?
Everything just goes tits up and then see you later.
Yeah, or they've watched The Last Tsar or something. And,
Yeah. And that's what they image. But the idea that I have, it's more like saying, well, what does our, let's get to grassroots. What does our community need? And work our society around those needs rather than The Purge, which is crazy idea.
Exactly. It's really actually, when you think about it, the crazy sort of like apocalypse movie is happening right now, and it's in capitalism. You know, tens of thousands of people dying from a infection that could be could have been prevented. You know, people burying food in the ground because there's no one to buy it, but people are starving. People are homeless, but there's empty houses. Like, this is actually the crazy movie, not the
people
revolution.
People starting podcasts at an incredible rate. It's it's madness out there.
There's really like, it's going to be like blogs, you know, where the average readership of a blog is like 0.3 people or something. That's going to be podcasts. Every podcast has half a listener, and that's it. Not this one, obviously. This one has, you know, at least two or three.
My mum is a very strong. We had one of our mums on last week as well, so there's the other one.
Good. You got to keep the mums happy.
Exactly. Absolutely. Thinking of some of the craziness that is happening in America at the moment, could you let us know a bit about, my brother's going to go nuts that we're talking about Bernie Sanders on this show. He fucking loves that guy. What impact US Senator Bernie Sanders has had on shining a light on socialist points of view? Because he's been being called a socialist left, right, and center. I see the almost brandishing that word like it's an insult, or like you're meant to go, Bernie Sanders is a social, you know, that kind of impact. So,
yeah, I mean, some people have tried to call him it as an insult, but I think one of the positive things that he's done is to say, well, it shouldn't be seen as a bad thing to be a socialist, because he's really just highlighting, you know, massive inequality in America, the fact that billionaires, you know, are so involved in deciding what happens in politics that there's all of this wealth in the country, and yet people can't access basic healthcare. So he's, you know, there's been a lot of really positive things that he's done, I think. But at the moment, in the current situation, it's kind of showing up some of his limitations as well, I think, in that he's still sort of wedded to keeping the same system intact, which is why he's not a revolutionary socialist, you know.
So what are some of the myths that are associated with socialism? Because like, there's been like a few things that I've seen online where like people make videos of like countries like Cuba where they introduce socialism and then everything's just gone to crap, and that's the one example that they use. But like, what are some other sort of myths do you think that are out there that are associated with it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. But the places that call themselves socialist doesn't mean that they are socialist. You know, like, we don't have that same uncritical perspective about people who call themselves not homophobes. You know, like Scott Morrison, I'm not homophobic. Well, we don't really believe him just because he says it.
But,
so, you know, the Soviet Union was not socialist. China's not socialist. Cuba's not socialist. They're different versions of capitalism.
Yeah.
And that's important to kind of see that. But they're not socialists in the sense that I the kind of socialist society that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I think another big one is that whole thing about sort of socialism would just be this boring kind of uniformity that everyone would just be mm-hmm. wearing overalls and standing in food queues and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we'd all be equal, but we'd all be poor and miserable. So what's the fun in that? But I think, again, that connects with the idea that the Soviet Union or somewhere was socialist. And if you look at capitalism today, there's actually people queuing outside supermarkets and weird and shortages of toilet paper mm-hmm. and sort of crazy stuff going on there. But socialism is not about everyone being equally poor. It's about actually everyone having an equal share in the decision-making that goes on in society and recognizing that there's enough in the world. Capitalism actually has taken us out of a position of not having enough of everything. In fact, capitalism overproduces things. So it's more just sort of how do you distribute stuff? How do you decide what you want to make? All of that kind of stuff. And if you didn't have this awful relationship with work and you had more time to be creative and imagine the podcasts that you could have in.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You could just podcast all day and all night.
I pretty much do. Dan just doesn't upload it. I send him like 12-hour audio streams of my entire day. And it just, you know. So
I'm sorry, Dan.
Right now. another really sort of broad question from me tonight is the idea of, you know, a democracy here in Australia. Sometimes it feels like a convenient myth. A capitalism and a democracy compatible in any way, or is it just set up in a way that doesn't necessarily allow for the other?
Short answer on this one is no. Yeah. I don't think it is. I think you're right that it's a myth and a kind of cover up of the actual structures of society. So when you think about what we went through with the equal marriage campaign and the fact that the vast majority of people just kept saying they supported it, I kept getting asked in opinion polls, and yet the Labor government, the Liberal government just refused to change the bloody law. And there's reasons and that they, you know, that they want to keep perpetuating homophobia. Climate change, like most people have a pretty good perspective on the urgency of needing to do something about the planet, but doesn't seem to matter. Like, we don't get to have a say in whether there should be basically only renewable energy in Australia. Most people would want that, but you can't vote for somebody really who's going to be able to do that. So again, you know, that structure of exploitation and oppression and protecting those few rich people at the top of society means democracy is just always going to come up against that limit. You know, like Kevin Rudd tried to super tax the mining companies.
Yeah.
And the next day, Gina Reinhart gets on the phone and is like, you better not fucking do that because you won't be in government anymore. And then they just back away. And you think, well, I don't get to phone up bloody Scott Morrison or whoever and tell him what I want. So why should Gina Reinhart or why should Clive Palmer be able to bloody rig an election with $60 million or whatever he's
The branch stacking that's happening at the moment.
Yeah, and that, I mean, Jesus, they're so disgusting.
I think, you know, Mikey and I are both queer people of colour. I've never particularly felt like my voice had very much power in this kind of, you know, like I never felt a part of a democracy growing up queer or growing up brown skinned. It was very apparent to me that I was within a certain system where I'd have a say on certain things, but definitely not these. And there were the things you would have and the things that you wouldn't have. It's kind of weird sitting here now in isolation, but with the right to get married and you go like, it's all just a bit messy. Like we fought for so much, but what is happening at the same time? It's a crazy world.
Now, Roz, how sort of important are moments like the Black Lives Matter protests for your cause? Like, has it widened your window of opportunity to get the revolutionary socialist sort of message out there, do you think?
Well, I mean, the protests in America that started with the murder of George Floyd and then kind of spread around the world, and the protests here in Melbourne have just been amazing and sort of led by young people, very multiracial, like huge, angry people just going, wait a second, we're sick of this shit,
like,
basically.
Enough of this.
Yeah. what happens then is people start having a lot of questions come out of it, like, what are the police for? Like, where did racism come from? What is colonialism? Like,
yes.
How did this system kind of happen? Do we have any democracy? What can we do about all of this stuff? And so, yeah, as a revolutionary socialist, I mean, it's about having those conversations and putting things out for people to read or listen to or whatever, and just start to see if, you know, we can answer some of those questions for people.
It does feel like the defund the police concept aligns pretty closely with some of the things we've talked about tonight in terms of looking at the money, where it's going and where it would be better spent to serve the community and the safety and the lives of the people that live there. That seems very much in line with some of the ideas that we've spoken about.
It just seems so obvious, doesn't it? Like, they spend billions on the police in the US, and then they just go around sort of killing and robbing people, the police. One stat I read just recently was, if you're in America and you're murdered by someone you don't know, there's a 1 in 3 chance that that was a police officer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So no wonder people are like, what? Like, this has got to be turned upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to tear it down and figure out how to put it back together in a more supportive way for the community.
Mm.
I feel like in recent years, especially with, like, I don't know much about millennials, because am I a millennial?
What year were you born? Like,
now you've got to tell us how old you are.
86?
Yeah.
Even though I am a millennial, I feel like social media, I'm seeing a lot more people in that demographic swing towards these ideas of socialism, especially as we get a bit older and we realize it's really fucking hard for us to buy a house. It's really hard for our voices to be heard when we say, maybe we want a planet to live on in 50 years. And
that's not going
to
die.
With people especially that are starting to see the world in this viewpoint, how likely is it that we will actually see some fundamental change in the coming years, especially with the clock ticking on things like climate change?
Yeah, the clock is ticking. As revolutionary socialists, I think you're forced to be optimistic, because otherwise you wouldn't bother, you know, I spend a lot of my time basically just working on political activism in all sorts of different campaigns and stuff. You've got to think that we do have the power collectively to actually transform society, and even, you know, younger than millennials, the generation after the Xennials, or I don't know.
The Xennials.
The Xennials is the ex-millennial. I think there's a Z. Anyway, young people. Yeah. Good young people. I'm just about to turn 40, so I'm very age conscious. That I think people are, you know, asking all of those questions. And the current situation with the pandemic and the economic crisis kind of coming off the back of it means I think the system is going to really struggle to provide for anyone, because if you're going to maintain the profits and the riches of the top, and it doesn't seem likely that they're just going to kind of let them trickle down anytime soon. They've never done it before, so all of those questions will still remain. There's nothing much in the system to kind of give people. Like, the last big uprising in the 1960s, if you look back on that period, was a period when capitalism sort of had this long post-war boom and could actually give people some things and could allow the civil rights movement to be successful and sort of make people's lives a bit easier. But now it seems like there's not really going to be anything reformable coming out of capitalism. So some of the changes even in America now are pretty radical. I mean, it's not revolution at this point, but that they are starting to defund police forces, that they are charging all of these cops and with murder, and like, there's a whole bunch of things happening that just would seem inconceivable a few weeks ago.
Absolutely.
That shows that kind of mass protests and continuing to organize and mobilize has had an impact. So
Or maybe some angry lesbian mothers got involved in there as well.
I'm sure there's plenty of angry lesbians involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The more the better.
Totally. That's
my
the
niche.
Kick to it.
Yes. Well, Roz, I want to say thank you so much for sharing your insights with us tonight. If listeners are keen to hear more from you, how can they reach out?
Well, they should listen to my podcast, obviously.
Yes.
So we can bump up our numbers from 2 to 3, but Red Flag Radio is the podcast. Red Flag Newspaper is the website that goes with it, redflag.org.au. So there's regular kind of news and discussion and some introductory articles and stuff on there. We have discussion groups you can access through that, live stream forums and stuff like that.
Amazing.
And then the Victorian Socialists, so I'm also involved with that project. So look out for more on that as the council election's coming up in October.
Cool.
So I'll be campaigning around that. So there's plenty to get involved in Australia as well, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And if any of these ideas have sort of, or these discussions have sparked any interest, I really recommend, yeah, checking out the podcast and the groups, because it does broaden your worldview and people like Roz are doing such important things out in the world I'm so grateful that you've come on and chatted with us. And
thank you.
If you want to,
hopefully I've inspired more gays to be revolting, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I also have some like pretty long audio files I can send you of my day recording, that if you want to get any of those.
Oh, please. I've been trying to look for something to help me sleep, so
yeah, these are great.
Definitely. Yeah.
Most of them are me just making angry customer service calls to Hungry Jack. So
yeah,
that's a good episode, that one. I'll send it to you.
Brilliant.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, that is it for this week. Sorry, it is a bit of a shorter episode. If you haven't heard Roz talks before, I think you'll understand how important it is that we do get voices like that out there. All four of us have had to sort out quite a lot of personal stuff this week, but we will all be back with you next week for another fabulous episode, and we can't wait to talk to you then.
And of course, remember, there is no after show this week, but next week that full show will be a...
Absolutely.
And it'll be great.
And I can't wait to see you, my darling. Yay. And the other two darlings as well.
Thank you until guys then, so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.